Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
I'm going to introduce a new friend of the house in Pastor Chandi Thomas from Life Center Ministries International over in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which, as you would know, is where Dylan and Katie Krause have joined us from. And amazing that Pastor Chandi was their mentor through the Joshua Mission School. So we're very thankful for what you sowed into them, because they're sowing amazing things into us. But we just had a great day yesterday with Chandi and with the worship community, and you're going to love this guy. And so I pray that you'd be open. I pray that you would honor him. I always think whenever someone gets up to speak, honor is so key. You know, the Bible talks about it. It gives ear to it, where it says, you know, you receive a prophet in a prophet's name and you receive that reward. And so I think it's the same with honoring a speaker, honoring someone who comes to share with us. If our hearts are open, it's like Jesus always said, you know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So I pray you just be open. Pray you'd be hungry to receive what Chandi has to share with us tonight. But can we put our hands together and just honor him as he comes up to speak? Yeah, bless you, man.
Good evening, everybody. So great to be here in this beautiful house. I got a tour the other day. So great. I'm so happy for what God is doing here. Happy to connect with Dylan and Katie, staying with them these few days. We have so much history together. When they were students in our school, like Nick said, years ago, my daughter, who's 14 now, she was a year old, 2 years old, and Dylan and Katie would help. When we travel, our students would help with our children, you know, and I remember Dylan and Katie would carry my daughter around. We'd go from village to village in Dindigul, Tamil Nadu, village to village, preaching the gospel. This was like just straight up old school missions, you know. And in the heat of summer, I don't know what I was thinking. Not too much, apparently. It was so hot. We would just pour bottles, 2-liter bottles of water on our kids to keep them hydrated. They couldn't even drink. It was that hot. The water was hot. We just keep them, you know, force keep them hydrated. They dry up in like 10 minutes and pour more water. Next village, you know. And that's, I have pictures of them holding our kids. I do want to introduce my family to you quickly. They're not with me, but I have a picture. Is it available? There we are. It happened this morning as well. God is enlarging us. But I say, more of you, Lord, and less of me. But that's my family, sort of. If you come to me later, I can show you what we really look like. I threw this at them last minute, during halfway through worship. But Sarah and I, we've been married 17 years. We have 4 children. Our oldest, Mer, 14. Hey, there we go. We're looking much better. See, things happen in his presence. We look much better. Just hang around his presence. Don't give up. We'll get better moment by moment. So our oldest in the middle, her name's Mer. She's the one that Dylan and Katie used to carry when she was a year old through those villages. And so many experiences like that. She's 14 now, started leading worship in youth and in her school. And my son, Zion, he's 12. He's a funny one. And Kashmir, she's 10. And Sonali, our youngest, she's 6. You can tell just by looking at the faces which one of them rules our house. And we were really thankful when we had baby number 1. No issues. Baby number 2, pretty mild-mannered. Baby number 3, and we're like, thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Because our kids had babies at the same time, and they were like, we can't, it's so much going on. They're so active, they're so rambunctious. We can't, you know, so much work. And we're like, Lord, you really love us, don't you? We have really sweet kids, really chill. We'll go to a restaurant, they'll just sit there. We don't have to give them instruction. They're not throwing forks and knives at each other. They're just sitting there eating their food. We're like, this is so good. And then baby number four came and it changed our lives. We literally had to relearn how to parent. I'm not kidding you. But she brings life to us. She said, when I told her I'm going to Australia, she said, whoa, that's amazing. Do they know us in Australia? I said, they don't. I said, well, can you show them our picture so that people in Australia know us? I said, I will. So this is me doing it. So that's our family. We were living in Cyprus recently for the last 8 years, part of a messianic missional community. With our main bases in Cyprus, we have other communities. We launched into Herrenhut, Germany, Geneva, Switzerland, Spokane, Washington. And these all came out of years of it being in the presence of the Lord. We have daily worship every morning in Cyprus, 2 to 3 hours, no agenda, just coming together, worship, prayer. And out of those years of seeking God in His presence, we sent teams out into Europe, teams into Israel, into Ethiopia, other parts of Eastern Europe as well. And through those intercession, presence times, prayer times, and worship times, and the sending and going out into these places, God favored some doors for us to walk into. What we didn't realize is that all of these places where He has taken us are ancient wells of revival. With Herrenhut, Germany, with the Moravian history. I don't know if you know of Count Zinzendorf and the Moravian, the 100-year revival, day and night worship, out of which came modern-day missions movement. And we have a small team in this little town of Herrenhut. And then Geneva, we planted a team in Geneva, and Geneva boasts the Reformation movement with John Calvin and John Knox and others. We have a team there. They're doing amazing, amazing things for the Lord. And then another team in Spokane, Washington, which is the home of John G. Lake and the Healing Revival, the Healing Rooms movement that launched from there. So this was not our 5-year plan. Let's go hit all these amazing centers of wells of revival. We were just in His presence, following the little things He would show us, and we would wholeheartedly pursue them. And at the end of those pathways with God, we found His purposes. And it's so amazing to be a part of that company. The last 2 years, 2 years ago, while we were celebrating, enjoying an amazing experience of Christian life in this community, God spoke to us, redirected our lives as a family, and brought us back to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is our home church. We're happy to be there. It's an exciting season that we're in together. That's where I met your pastor, John, when he came last year, and you stayed at our house, which is amazing, our greatest honor, because Dylan said, oh, my pastor's coming, can you host him? I said, yeah, we'd love to host him. But literally in the first 10 minutes of him being in our house, we started sharing. We're like, wow, I love this man. I know why Dylan's there now. And we just had so many things in common for missions and the heart after God and some places even in India that we've been together at the same or same places that we've been. So it's exciting to further the connection by being with you this weekend. An amazing time with youth a couple nights ago and the worship conference yesterday, right? It was yesterday. I love your team. We're up late night having dinner together and hanging out, and really appreciate the spirit of what you guys carry. And I'm excited for what is ahead for you as a church. I want to dive right in because the time clock has started and I've already lost 7 minutes. But there's a word in my heart for the church that I want to kind of lean into and speak into. And it's concerning. I felt to this whole weekend that I'm here to kind of linger on this idea of the presence. And I've seen write-ups kind of like your byline that you are a people, a church given to the presence of the Lord. And I know this is your future. This is your direction. This is your center point. This is your focal point of where you're going as a church. I want to declare over you that you're going to redefine what it means to be a seeker-friendly church. We're friendly to those who are seekers of His presence. We may be hostile to those who are not. Just kidding. But this house will be seeker-friendly in the sense that you are seeking the presence of the Lord. You're calling together, gathering together a people, a community. You're raising together a community of people. Your sole focus, your sole desire is the centrality of the presence of God. It's not an option. In all of our years of traveling and experiencing God since 1993, when I started walking with the Lord, till today, all different parts of the world, the presence of God is not an option. It's not, we have so many denominations and different structures of church throughout the world in different, in different ways, but the presence of God, there is no definition other than this is who we are called to be as a church, as a body of Christ. This is us. And the last day before Jesus comes, it's the Spirit and the bride that are going to cry out, "Even so, Lord, come." It's the bride who we are and the presence manifests through the Spirit of God that's going to cry out, "Even so, Lord, come." Come on. And as we look at scriptures from the very beginning, God intended for his people who are representing him on the earth to be identified by his presence. And when I say his presence, it's not just an ethereal, thought or just an idea, an ideology, or just, it's the presence of the Lord. We know, we love it. It's not just an internal faith. I believe in it. I don't know what it is. I have an experience. It's meant to be tangible. It's meant to be manifest in our lives. The manifest presence of God is what he has given to his church, his body, his people on the earth from the very beginning. When he called Israel, the Hebrews, out of Egypt, he called them to them. He gave them promise to the promise, to walk and journey to the promised land. But here's how he led them. He could have given them directions this way, physically given them directions, or giving them promises to go alone. Here are my promises, go. Look at all the wonders I've done for you. Now go. He didn't leave them in that way. He revealed miracles to them, signs and wonders all along the way. But here's how they went. With a physical cloud that would lead them, that would go before them. Physical manifestation of something that they would look and this is how we're going. He's given us a promise, but today we're following his presence. Perhaps there was somebody within the Hebrews, within the Israelites, that knew a shortcut to get to the promised land. Perhaps there were people that said, "Hey, I have a better way. I know where that land is with flowing with milk and honey. This is the way to go. But the cloud is moving this way. Which way are you going to go? Are we going to take the easy way out? And the way we know how to do church or how to live, or are we going to have faith to follow the presence of God in our lives?" And by night, this cloud that was by day, pillar of cloud by day, would change position, change format, change its own revelation. And when the army began to chase after them at night, this cloud would reposition itself with an angel would move behind them, and this cloud would follow and set up camp behind the nation, in between the Egyptian army and the people of God. The presence of God, when it's manifest, it's purposeful for our lives. It has purpose to lead us. It has purpose to protect us. It is everything that we need for life. Thank you, Lord. We just need to have the faith to follow the presence of the Lord and to say, "As for me and my house, we are after the presence of God. As for me and my church, we are after the presence of the Lord." And begin to manifest in our lives, individually, family after family. Thank you, Lord. And then when Moses would establish camp, he would enter the place of the tent of meeting, the place where God would meet with Moses. And when he would meet with Moses, a cloud would again appear in front of the tent, and every man would come outside his tent and observe and watch this encounter that Moses was having and witness the cloud of his presence and the cloud of meeting. This is how God has called us to be. In Exodus 33:11, this is what it says. And Moses would meet with God, and God would meet with Moses face to face. And after that time of meeting, Moses would return to the camp because he had responsibilities as a leader. But this is what it says in Exodus 33:11. But Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, remained in the tent. He was the apprentice. He was interning under Moses in those years. He should have followed Moses outside of the tent of meeting and walked with Moses to what he was going to do. But Joshua encountered something in the presence of the Lord. He says, "This is what I'm living for." When Moses left, Joshua remained in the tent of meeting. Guess who entered the promised land at the end? It was this defining moment of the season of his life being saturated and pursuing and valuing the presence of the Lord that ended up defining the destiny of where he would go. Come on. The presence of the Lord today will be where we're going to end up. Thank you, God. He will lead us into all that is ahead for us. We don't need to plan it. We don't need to scheme it. We don't need to have 5-year plan, 10-year plan. Those things are good to steward in that with the things that he's given us. But our hope and faith and trust is pursuing the manifest presence of God today as a community. Thank you, Lord. And then God began to establish, he's calling these people now as his people, defining them as people who would follow, represent God on the earth. They would be, as a people, the manifestation of God on the earth, representing God on the earth. And then he gave them laws, moral laws, cultural laws, social laws, way to live, a way to distinguish themselves from other people so that they could be representatives of God on the earth. He gave them laws, hundreds of laws to follow. You know what the purpose of all of those laws were? It's not that they would be busy in doing the law, but these laws would help them redirect their lives day after day, because in the center of their camp was the tent of meeting. The center of their camp was the manifest presence of God. All of their doings, all of their laws, all of their pursuing the things that God has given them for daily life was meant to redirect them to the centrality of the presence of God. If we, in all of the doings as a church, as a body of Christ, being faithful and stewarding and cultivating everything he's given to us as a body, if we continue faithfully in that, but also be central to the presence of God, we will fulfill his purposes through our lives. And that centrality of the presence of God, it was not just central, it became of the utmost priority for them. Because when the manifest presence showed up, everyone left their doing, left what they were engaged with, and came and witnessed the encounter that was happening. This is how we're called to be. All that God has given us is to be focused in pursuing the presence of the Lord. And with this experience is when Moses again meets with God on the mountain. Having had experience, having known the power of the presence of God, even to overthrow an entire army, God is now giving him instruction. Moses, this is how I want you to continue leading the people. And at this point, Moses says this famous statement. He has seen the power of God. He has seen what God can do. He knows how to lead the people forward. He knows where they're going. He has the direction. He's hearing the voice of God. He's seeing God manifest in front of him. And in that moment, he says, that should have been enough for him. He's like, I got it, God. I'm going to go. Got it. Done. But he says, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't leave me out of here. Come on. So many people have establish whole ministries based on one word they've received. But here's Moses encountering God, the glory of God. But in that moment, he says, I hear everything you're saying, but if you don't go with me, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't leave me out of here. Come on. It's everything that we're called to be. Years later, into the New Testament now, the beginning of the New Testament church era, The name, the second covenant announcement is coming to Zacharias. And an angel appears to Zacharias and says, Zacharias, he's talking about his son who will be the forerunner to Jesus. He's talking about John the Baptist to Zacharias, the promise of God that will come to him and Elizabeth. And the angel appears to him and says, Zacharias, gives him the good news. And Zacharias says, that's good. It sounds great. Now, how should I believe that you are from God? You are the messenger. How should I have confidence in all of these things that you're saying? How do I know, maybe you're not an angel. How do I know? What is your credibility with the message that you're carrying? You know what Gabriel answered Zacharias? He said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. That's all he answered him. The angel's greatest credit, he lives in that space day in, day out, in the presence of the Lord. And that's all he needed to communicate to Zacharias. All you need to know, Zacharias, is that I stand in the presence of God. Come on. If your friends ask you, where are you going as a church? All you need to say is, we are in the presence of God. We're standing, we're living, following the presence of God. That has to be our greatest credibility. As a husband, well, my wife asked me, honey, what's happening 3 months now, 6 months from now? What are we doing a year? I said, I don't know, honey. I don't know how things are gonna develop, how things are gonna open up, how things are gonna, play itself out. But I know one thing, we're following the Lord right now. This is my, as a husband, this is my greatest confidence. I have this confidence that I'm following his presence right now in our lives. I can't give you strategy for 3 months or 6 months, but I can give you this confidence today. Follow me because I'm following him. Just like Gabriel, that has to be every man's confidence here, every woman's confidence here. I don't know what my future is, but today my confidence is I'm following him. If I'm following him now, if his presence is continually manifest in my life, I do not need to worry about tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 28. In Genesis 28, this is a story where Jacob is running from Esau. And we know the story of Jacob in all the things that transpired between him and his brother. And he's running from Esau. And he comes to this place. He's tired from running. He's tired from travel. Hundreds of kilometers away, if you look at the map of how he journeyed. How he ran from his brother Esau. He comes to a place, end of the day, and here's what it says. Genesis 28, verse 11. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. Verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And he goes on, then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, he encountered the Lord. God began to speak to him in his dream. The manifest presence of God began to encounter Jacob while he was sleeping. And there angels began to ascend and descend. And God began to speak the future. The promise that was given to Abraham, Isaac, now is coming upon Jacob. God is manifesting his presence and speaking destiny, speaking his future to him in a dream. And in the dream, the first scene before God speaks is angels ascending and descending. Then God speaks his promise to him. When he wakes up from this dream encounter, this is what Jacob says. Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? And then he began, I need to respond to this encounter. What was natural, what was normal to him? I don't know why he put, maybe it's normal for them in that day to sleep with a stone as a pillow. It just doesn't describe it, but it does mention it, so it must be important. I don't know why. But what was normal for him, when God encountered him, it became an altar, because he took that pillow, erected it right in front of him, and poured oil over it and said, surely God is in this place. You see, we can do things normal that we know to do, but when God shows up, that moment, that place becomes an altar to him. When God begins to meet us and begins to encounter us in our lives, those moments and those places become his altar, become a place of meeting for not just you, for many that will come after you. Thank you, Lord. As you pursue God as a community, there are many that will come into this house longing for a touch of God. But guess what? When they come in, there are altars here in this house that have been built through your lives. We have this testimony recently in our church. A new family came to our church from another state. And the first couple of Sundays, they're new to our city. The first couple of Sundays they came in, there was a word of knowledge for like basic things like a migraine or headache. And the husband had a headache and he got healed. Second Sunday, you know, back pain or something like that. And he had back pain and he got healed. So he responded to certain words of knowledge the first few Sundays. But he had this lifelong allergy to red onion, very severe. And that week they were out at a restaurant and they ordered something, and some salad or something that they ordered had red onion in it. And he began to go into complete shock. And he was choking, and he signaled to his wife to take him to the hospital. She didn't know where the hospital in Harrisburg was. This was on a Monday. Monday's our day off at the church. And he said, take me to Life Center. We don't know where the hospital is. The only place that they know is the church. They drive up into the property. As they're driving up the hill that comes up to our parking lot, he gets instantly healed from this reaction to red onion. Not only does he get healed in that moment, he completely gets healed from any allergy to red onion, period. He's been suffering with this all his life. Come on. You see, our altar of meeting with God may be life and death for somebody else that is desperate for a touch of God. So it's not just for us. It's not just in this moment for us that we are experiencing him. But this is critical for everyone that's coming after us. Thank you, Lord. What if this altar here is the pool of healing, pool of deliverance, pool of salvation for your neighbors up the street? Come on. It's a setup if I ever saw one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How awesome is this place? Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. We have to be purposeful in calling this place an altar of meeting with God. We have to be purposeful in defining who you are as a church. We are after the presence of the Lord, and our encounters become an altar for anybody who will enter this property. David asked to go after the Ark of the Covenant, not only because of its spiritual influence, not only because that the spiritual blessing was important for him. He knew the spiritual dynamic, but what he witnessed in Obed-Edom's house was it began to influence everything around him. Geographically, anything that touched and was associated with where the Ark of the Presence was, it began to produce fruit. You're here, set up geographically here. Your neighborhood is going to transform because of encounters here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This is why he wanted the ark back. I see what it does all around. I want this. I want this back in our house. He called the name, Jacob called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city previously had been Luz. The people of Luz were called. You see, when you have an encounter with God and you honor that place, you honor the pursuit, and you honor your encounter with him individually and corporately, You have the authority to change the identity of a whole city. Come on. He encountered God. When he went to sleep, he was in Luz. But because of his encounter, he got up and said, this city from now on will be called the house of God. Come on. What kind of arrogance is that? This is the confidence of the presence of God. That when you, what you encounter has the power to change the identity of a whole city. Thank you, Lord. But this is what you have to do. I'll end with this. This is what you have to do. Allow the angels that were previously assigned to you. This is the word of the Lord for this church. Allow the angels that were previously assigned to this church to ascend. Allow the angels that were previously commissioned to your church. These are angels that brought the blessing, that carried the legacy. But in this moment, you have to encounter God and allow those angels to ascend, because there are new angels waiting to be commissioned for this church. That will bring a new identity to this whole city. Don't hold on to the things which were good, because that seems secure for you, when God wants to release new angels with new commissions and new call, new destiny, new direction, new identity for you as a people and for the city. Come on. If it was an exchange, angels would have come down first, and then it says angels ascended and then the angels descended. He was running from Esau that brought him to that place of encounter. Whatever thing you are moving away from, it is time now to redefine your movement. We're not only moving from something, now there are new angels assigned to us. This church, now we're moving towards something, because new angels have been assigned with new commissioning for us. The story changes with this encounter. He was running from Esau. He has an encounter, releases the old angels, new angels were assigned to him. And now, here's what it says. As we read on in this chapter, the next scene of Jacob's life is he meets Rachel, his destiny, through whom would come tribes. Come on. The call of God on Abraham is being fulfilled through this one encounter, where he honored the place of meeting. He honored the presence of the Lord. Even in his moving, running away from his brother, he came to that place of encounter. He honored it. And he says, God, you are here. This is my focus now. My focus is not what I was engaged with Esau. Now my focus is this. And we embrace the new angels. We embrace the new commissioning. We embrace the new name. We embrace the new identity. You have to, because there's destiny. There's a whole movement, a whole tribe waiting for this community in your future. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for this community of faith. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for the history. Thank you for the storyline. Thank you for what they've faithfully walked through. I honor the legacy of what has been. I honor the storyline of what has been. Where they were, where this church community started years ago. I honor the process. I honor what they have walked through until this moment, God. Until these years, I ask, Father, for a visitation for this church that will transform the narrative of your journey. Not only are we running from, but we're running towards our destiny. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if this is you, come on, just ask the Lord, because it starts with individuals and families that make your corporate house what it is. Your pastor can run with this by himself. The worship team can run by this by themselves. All of us have to be a part of it. All of us have to buy in to this encounter with God. All of us have to say, we are here to encounter the Lord, and we want nothing else but His presence. Because in this place of meeting, God will lead us to our destiny. Not just corporately as a church, but you will walk into your destiny. You and your children, your children's children, all that you believe for, all the seeds of promise that is in your life will will be fulfilled as corporately you say, God, we want your presence. We want your presence. We want your presence. I don't know what my future is for me and my children, but here as a house of God, together I buy in to this place of encounter. I buy in to this altar. I pour my oil on this altar, God. And we honor this place of meeting. We honor this place of meeting. Jesus. A people of his presence. A community of his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I want to encourage you. I can say this freely. Let all of your thoughts be pure. As you look at your community, as you dream for the future, do not let anything rob you. Honor the presence of the Lord. Honor the place of meeting. Honor this movement toward cultivating this identity, this new name, this new identity for your church. Honor it, honor it, honor it. Bless it. Pour oil over it. Turn it from what is carnal and convert it to an altar. If you stay in the natural, you'll be left with the stone. But if you see in the spirit, you will be able to handle an altar. If you see with your eyes, with your own understanding, you'll be left with a rock. But if you see with the eyes of heaven, this will be a meeting place. Thank you, Lord. So I bless this geography. I bless this ground that this building is built on in Jesus' name. I bless geographic connections, everything that this church is connected to. I bless it in Jesus' name. I thank you for tangible, manifest testimonies. Because of your pursuit within, there'll be testimonies without. When people drive in, when people come in, when people walk in, when people drive around the church, testimonies. I was driving around your church and I got healed. I was driving around the church and I saw an angel. I was driving around your church. I wasn't even wanting to come in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let salvation ring from this altar here. Come on, River Life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this altar of meeting. Thank you for this community that have focused and established and said, God, we want to be a people that meet with you, that pursue your presence. Commit and recommit. Commit and recommit your lives to this community of this presence. Commit and recommit your lives to this focus of the centrality and the priority of the presence of God. Commit and recommit. Transform your own thoughts and your own minds to affirming and encouraging the centrality and the priority of His presence here in this house. Because there's no telling what God can do. There's no telling the increase He can bring when His presence is restored. As a centerpiece of our attention, our devotion to Him. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just recommit your own, in your own words, in your, through your own prayer, recommit to the Lord. God, I'm given to this community. I'm given to this community. I'm given to uphold my pastors by praying for them. I'm given to this community by serving in whatever way that I can. I'm given to this community to hold up these guys who serve endlessly. Thank you, Lord, for Nick and the whole worship team, all the administrators, all the pastors, all the leaders, God. Here's what I want to do. If you want to visibly say, we are part of this community. We are here for the presence of God. We are here not because we have another desire, another passion. We want the presence of God. Come up to the front. Let your pastor visibly see who he's leading. Let there be no second choice for you. This is all we have, the presence of the Lord. This is what we're committing to as a church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Turn the this carpet into an altar right now with your choice, with your commitment tonight. Turn this carpet into an altar of meeting. Come on, come up to the front, move into the center. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for this community. I thank you for this tribe. They're not only moving away, but they're moving into destiny where tribes will come after you. Thank you for an apostolic influence that you're going to come into as a church in Jesus' name. Because if you encourage this with your own desire, your pastors come into apostolic influence here in this city and around the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just worship the Lord together, wholeheartedly.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.